Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. Once again, I wanted to remind our listeners that tomorrow we have an audio specialist coming out to do a little work on our system so that we will be able to take calls live. For this very reason, we are not able to host our dear brother, Daniel Seckham, because it would require him calling into the program. And then in order to hear him, I would turn up the speakers and the echo would begin to happen. So by this time next week, Daniel will be right back on track. And so thank you for being patient with that. We miss that young man. We miss his message and we're desiring for him to get back on the air. But tomorrow, please cover that in prayer that the audio specialist will come and get this whole audio system set up and ready to go. I trust that we're coming through loud and clear on the Omega Radio Network and through Blog Talk Radio. And so let's move forward in that understanding. What I'm going to share with you today, a little bit of a shift from what we've been talking about the last couple of days. And again, it's always amazing to me how the Lord does this. You get up, you know, one morning and it's not about a feeling, it's more of a leading. And you're led in a particular direction, and then, you know, a couple of days goes by, and you're tracking with the love of God. You're tracking with, you know, how things ought to be. You're tracking in a certain direction. Then you wake up one morning, and you're praying, and you're seeking God before you ever open your eyes in that early morning. You know what I'm talking about. And today, there's a new leading, and the new leading is not because of what's going on over in France, for example, where in a Christmas shopping center, people were shot and killed, many people wounded. The manhunt for the 29-year-old, you know, Islamic terrorist that shouted out Allahu Akbar, God is great, right, in Arabic. That's not the reason why we're going to talk about this today, because we really do have to sort through some things in our thinking as Christians, as men and women, to understand Scripture. And it is not an easy thing to understand, especially with the confusing mentality here in the United States. And I'm saying that lightly. And so, you know, sometimes people think America is going to be spared the judgment because we have a relationship with Israel in the Middle East. You know, because now we've gotten the border there because we're friends of Israel. All of a sudden, we're going to be okay. even though we mass murder innocent babies, shed innocent blood, promote homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, and because we allow our corruptible influences through Hollywood and all these different areas, even in our universities, our colleges, our public schools, our preschools, I mean, you name it, we got all this corruption going on, but the thing that's going to save us is that we're friends with Israel in the Middle East, who, by the way, are host to the largest homosexual gathering in the world over in Tel Aviv and have still denied the lordship of Jesus Christ, rejected and blasphemed the holy name of Jesus, actually have anti-converting laws, if you will. You got to be very careful how you minister over in Israel. And so as a person that loves Israel, as a person that loves my country, I still cannot deny the corruption that is not just moderate or just, you know, behind closed doors, which it used to be. You know, all these things that are wide out in the open right now used to be practiced behind closed doors, and it would be a shame to be promoted within society. In fact, as you heard me say 100 times, we've had laws to protect our society against the things that are now dominating our society and are influencing our children and every fabric of our society. So the things I'm going to share today have to be understood. And if our best defense to say, well, that won't happen to us because we're friends with Israel, maybe we're going to have to take another look at God's word, because God judged his own people, Israel, for the sins that they're committing today. And he certainly will judge his people in America and this nation. So what is the word then? What are we hearing by the Spirit? It's what we've been saying year after year after year. And we watch what's been happening in our country year after year after year. Rather than things getting better, things have taken a sharp turn. And they have gotten much worse than they've ever been before. And I just have this word here that I want to get into, and I'm going to begin in Revelation chapter 18. Once again, Revelation chapter 18, and I just want to read a few verses, and hopefully we can get somewhere on this. So if you're with me today, let's receive this message as a word from the Lord, and we'll, because it is God's word, it is his message, and here's the message. And I'm going to read several verses, and then I'm going to go and tie this in with a few other prophetic voices that have been fulfilled to just show the validity of this particular message. So here we go, Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel. It came down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Now, I want to stop there just for a very brief moment. I do want to continue reading, but I want to examine something here where it's, we heard that in 1 day, you know, up in the earlier verses there, it said in 1 day, there'll be death and mourning and famine. Therefore shall her, in verse 8, plagues come in 1 day. And then down in this last verse 10, in 1 hour, your judgment has come. And I just wanted to look at that word judgment for a little bit. And it's the word krisis. And you know that the word krisis is our English word crises. It's where, you know, there's a crisis going on. Well, the word krisis actually is designed by God. Every crisis is designed by God to bring about a separation. That's what the word actually means, a separating, a sundering, a separation, a trial, judgment, a decision, an opinion, a sentence. And so the sentence or the divine law or the accusation or the condemnation or the damnation, all part of the same word, is always designed to bring about separation. And what God is saying about Babylon is that Babylon will be separated from God forever in Revelation chapter 18. Now, here's an interesting tidbit of information. We could go back to the book of Jeremiah and see the prophet Jeremiah pronouncing the doom and the judgment and the utter obliteration of Babylon. And that Babylon was under Nebuchadnezzar. We're going to look at him in just a little bit here. And yet that Babylon has long passed away, but here at the end of time in the book of Revelation, Babylon has grown even fatter because it's no longer isolated in the Middle East. It's no longer situated in Iraq. The Babylon of the last days is a global system. It is a spiritual, political, governmental system that has spread itself all over the world, an economic system. We know that as well. And so this end time Babylon will, in 1 hour, her separation will take place. The judgment will come. And we saw what that is. That's death, that's mourning, that's famine, and torment is coming upon this Babylon. Now, the thing that caught my attention this morning is the phrase, in 1 hour. In 1 hour. I want to ask you a question. Because we're reading the book of Revelation, chapter 18, a prophecy to be fulfilled at the very end of time, have there not been many end of time events in the world since man has been upon the earth, i.e., the last day of Sodom and Gomorrah was the day that fire came down and destroyed it. I mean, there was Sodom and Gomorrah. It was alive and well. And yet in 1 hour, as they were thrusting Lot and his daughters and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah, in 1 hour, that fire from heaven came down, whether they were meteorites, whatever it was that God used, wiped out to ashes that entire region. There were five cities connected to that whole scenario. How about in the days of Noah? Now, that wasn't a one-hour event because that was a global flood, but it was an end of time for man upon the earth in his wickedness. And yet, Noah came out of the ark and things went forward. And so we can conclude whether it is the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire. We could go back in time, the Egyptian Empire, and we could see that there comes an end. I mean, there were 10 plagues upon Egypt, and then in 1 hour, the people of God went out and their final doom came. So this idea of judgment in 1 hour is looming over the United States of America, and I want to tell you why. Okay, I am not anti-American, but I have a biblical point of view and a reference as to why. And I'm going to tell you what I believe with all my heart is from the Holy Spirit, that what we are experiencing in America right now is a delayed obedience to the will of God. And a lot of people say, well, hey, this is a really big country and it's very complicated and steps are being made towards repenting. Well, what kind of repenting are we talking about? Well, steps are being made towards getting the Supreme Court justices to overthrow Roe versus Wade. Well, that hasn't happened yet. And one of the Supreme Court justices, Kavanaugh, just voted pro Planned Parenthood funding. I mean, he basically went against the whole idea of overthrowing Roe versus Wade. You have to search that out, okay? Search that out. So my point is, you could have all these different cabinet positions. You could have all these different people coming to power in the Supreme Court, but still we're murdering babies. Still we are corrupting our society with pornography, with blasphemy coming out of Hollywood, with corruption. They're so corrupt. It's like a Hollywood movie itself in Washington, D.C., right? That's what people are saying. And yet we know that President Trump is moving forward. Everybody's got their, you know, bet on him. They're behind him. They're praying for him. Come on, let's move, move, move. And yet he sat in a room with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer yesterday, and they were like three little kids brooding over one another. Who's going to do what? I mean, it was really embarrassing. Quite frankly, it was embarrassing. And I don't know if the president is trying to make himself look like a really good guy that's not angry and all of that stuff, but it was really embarrassing. Well, I'm concerned about that as well. So let's get back for just a moment to Revelation chapter 18. You know, you don't need to be pussyfooting around with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer as she walks into the room saying, you know, don't underestimate my power. You know, these people, I mean, how could anybody take seriously Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi? Because they have power, they're in a position. Remove them from their office of power, quote unquote, and what do you have? I mean, these people belong in comic books. Honestly, they really do belong in comic books. They are such cures. I mean, it's amazing to me. And so, anyways, let me move on. And that's not a lack of love. That is just my absolute thorough thinking about that. So anyways, back to Revelation. We have this situation where in 1 hour, your judgment is come. And what's going to happen when that hour of judgment comes? And I want to explain it just a little bit. Those who are tied to the world system will lose everything when it collapses. This is what it means in 1 hour. What they have worked for a lifetime to build will be destroyed in 1 hour. Those who work only for material rewards will have nothing. When they die, possessions are destroyed. So what can we take with us to the new earth or to heaven? The only thing that's going with us is our faith, our Christian character, and our relationships with other believers. And these are more important than any amount of money, power, or pleasure. You know, we see it in California. I know we keep using it as an example, but let me ask you a question. When Babylon was destroyed, did everybody say, okay, we're like a bunch of ants. Babylon's gone. Israel's been devastated. So let's just move forward. No, they constantly referenced the judgments to keep the mind of the people aware of who God is and what God has the power to do and through whom God can move at any time. And so we cannot cease to reference the fires in California. We cannot cease to reference the 7.0 earthquake that was predicted and yet is just a preview of the massive earthquake and the tsunami that's going to hit the west coast of the United States of America. We cannot cease to reference the hurricanes that destroyed Puerto Rico and other islands were devastated and cities and towns, and people lost everything they had. Tens of thousands of people, without exaggeration, lost everything they had in these last fires. So we cannot cease to reference the inner violence that's brooding underground when we remember Ferguson, Missouri, or Baltimore, Maryland, or when we, in the 2016 election, saw all of these riots that were breaking out, and suddenly people were looking at America like we used to look on television over in Europe or some other place where they were having that kind of conduct. All of a sudden, this became a reality around us. We cannot cease to reference 9/11, 2001. We cannot cease to reference all the different events that have been and still exist waiting for a moment. We can't cease to reference the solar eclipses, the blood red moons, the star alignments in the heavens, which were signs and signals. Have we forgotten so quickly? Have we been taken over by the propaganda, by the mind control, by the brainwashing mechanisms coming out of Hollywood and the news media? Are we forgetting so quickly that God has already, that America has crossed the point of no return? And while a lot of people are fighting to make America great again, that's never going to happen. America is not great at this moment because we have sinned greatly against the Lord. And we're slow and delayed in our obedience to put an end, like Josiah did. When Josiah saw the word of the Lord, he took a militia with him and went throughout the land, and he shut down the things that were causing the wrath of God upon the nation. And here we have over 2 years in office, and nothing has changed except the money. You see, when Babylon is all about making the buck, making the money, it's political maneuvering, it's lights, it's showmanship, it's cosmetics, okay? It's not real. It's all very colorful. It's comic at best, and yet everybody's talking about it, right? But as far as obedience to God, it is delayed obedience, if there's any obedience at all, because the very things that need to be done are not getting done, and therefore our delayed obedience is accelerating the righteous judgment of God, and it's going to come in 1 hour. In 1 hour. I want to just read a little bit more out of Revelation chapter 18, verse 11. Here's what's going to happen in the hour that Babylon is destroyed, whether it is the final Babylon of Revelation 18 or the Babylon of Jeremiah's day or the Tower of Babel in Nimrod's day or the Babylon in the days of Tyre, which we're going to go and look at in just a moment, or the Babylon on the West Coast, California, or Babylon, New York, or Babylon, European Union, or Babylon here. Babylon is everywhere, okay? And there is a finality that Babylon will be destroyed and never rise again, all right? But you're living within the very construct right now, and so am I. We are living in Babylon. That's why when Peter writes his letter to the saints in Babylon, well, that letter is really applicable to you and I today because we live within the construct of Babylon. Every single thing is within the construct of Babylon, and yet God's calling his people to come out, and most don't even know how to do that. How do I come out of Babylon? What does it mean to come out of Babylon? Jesus said that like a snare, it's going to come upon the whole earth, and when you're caught in the snare, you will not escape. And so how do God's people prepare for this moment if we keep denying that the judgment is going to happen in a day or the judgment is going to happen in an hour? We keep living like it's not going to happen, so we go deeper and deeper into Babylon's construct, and we just don't want to be ensnared. And I'm all for using the system but not abusing it. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We use it, but we don't abuse it, which means depend on it. I'm all about that. I think it's wonderful to use all of these mechanisms to preach the gospel, to get God's people ready. But will the Spirit of God ever tell his people with a loud clarion call, come out? Or will we, in our own delayed obedience, like Lot, you know, delay and linger till the last moment and go out with nothing, just like those Jews in Nazi Germany who lingered while the prophets were telling them, you better get out of here? Some of the wise ones, they got out. They sold everything they had, converted it to diamonds, sewed it in their coats, and got out. Others waited and waited and waited, and at the last minute, they got out. But they left with nothing, And then, of course, the millions that got caught in the snare did not make it out. And that's the reality. I mean, there is a glaring picture of what God is saying. And you and I have to be sensitive to know the truth about this issue. And we can't be so dull of hearing, and we can't be so sluggish of heart that we cannot hear. And so what is it that we're looking at? Well, I'm looking through a biblical lens here, and I'm getting this warning in my spirit. Here's what's going to happen when she collapses altogether. The verse 11 of Revelation 18, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore. Now, I want you to know something. America is known around the world to be the number one consumer nation on the face of the earth, and so much of a consumer nation that we are indebted to credit cards and our purchasing and our buying to such a large degree, the trillions of dollars of debt because of our hunger and desire to have. Well, America is an indebted nation. And the merchants that do business with our country, so to speak, they're weeping. They're mourning. Why? Because no man's buying their merchandise anymore. They're not concerned about the burning fire and the nuclear bombs and all the devastation. They're mourning because nobody's buying their stuff anymore, the people that do business with America. Verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, all thine wood, all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. Wow, everything's being sold on the marketplace, right? Verse 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. Now, earlier it said they lived deliciously. They lived deliciously. Well, that's just another way of saying that they lived luxuriously. You know, there's a lot of, I'm going to just take a look here and look at that word deliciously. And that word, deliciously, they live deliciously, simply means, and I'm going to pull it up here right now, it's strenieo, and that means to be wanton, to live luxuriously, to be luxurious. And the deeper Greek on that, and the scary part about that is the wantonness. Well, this means excessive luxury, eager desire, keep up with the Joneses, strenuous, straining, voluptuousness. And this is the way we live in this country. And we have become like the fatted calves. I mean, it's pretty obviously when people around the world are suffering, people around the world, they say that if you are an American, you're one of the top 8% of the world, the richest people on the face of the earth, especially if you have a couple of coins on your dresser at night and you have any amount of money in a bank and clothes in your closet, food in your refrigerator and cabinets, you have a car to drive. I mean, you are part of the 8% of the most wealthy people on the face of the earth. And America, look how it is. But you see what the problem is? Well, we have all this luxury. And yet, what do? We export pornography. We have saturated our society with all of this sensuality. We have blasphemed God. And you go on down the list. And, you know, God's saying to this Babylon, it's going to come to an end. And then in verse 15, the merchants of these things that sold all these things to the country, which were made rich by her, all the other nations were being made rich. That's what Trump's been talking about. They're all getting wealthy. China's been selling their goods to America for how long? All right. They will stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to nothing. And this begs us to understand that just because the president is laboring for a booming economy, we must understand that the richest economy on the face of the earth can be gone in an hour. God does not want this president here to have a booming economy if it's really from God. God would have a president here to put an end to the things that have drawn the wrath of God. Wouldn't you agree that if we had a godly president in the United States of America, that his main mission would be putting an end to the sickness and the immorality that has been promoted within our society? Come on, that has to be the truth. I don't think God's saying, hey, I'm going to raise up Donald Trump so that he could have a booming economy for the American people because that's what's most important. Forget about their addiction to drugs and alcohol and pornography and they're dying and drowning in perdition. Forget about that. Every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea, we have the biggest seaports around and about, don't we? Well, they stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Listen, if Saudi Arabia got bombed today, I do not believe that the nations of the earth would send vigils and candles and, oh, we're weeping with you, Saudi Arabia. But on 9/11, 2001, the nations of the earth had their vigil and sent their cards, and they were weeping. You saw them weeping for the smoke that was going up in New York City. Come on. And then in 19, they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For again, in 1 hour is she made rich. Desolate. In verse 17, we read it again. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to nothing. And then we see it again. In 1 hour is she made desolate. In 1 hour. Now, what does God tell the people to do? Listen to verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and holy prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Now, what in the world could that possibly mean? God has avenged you, holy apostles and holy prophets, on her. Because I'm telling you that the spiritual warfare against the true holy apostles and prophets of God has been intense, and I believe it's going to get even more intense as time goes by. Probably a lot of beheadings and burnings and torture and all kinds of crazy stuff. But he tells the heavens to rejoice over Babylon's fall. The nations, do you notice? They're weeping and lamenting. They're sorrowing because this is their economy. This is how they've been made rich. America's been taking care of them. But he tells heaven to rejoice over the destruction. I think there's a wake-up call there to God's children. Maybe a paradigm shift is needed to start getting the heart of heaven and the heart of our Father to understand the way that he views things. His view of this end-time Babylon, just because wealth and people are being, you know, you would think if everybody has money and they're all getting rich, then God must be happy. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Spend your whole life working, 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 building, 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 sweating, 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 still under the curse, sweating by your brow, still a curse going back to the garden. That curse was destroyed in Jesus Christ. We ought to be living for the kingdom of God. And yet people work every day building the Egyptian empire, the pyramids, and building the brick with the mortar and the straw and doing all this stuff. Laboring, so exhausted, can't even enjoy the things that they have for the most part. They sit around and never are used. It's all going to go away. You see, it's not a threat. It's going to go away. This is what Revelation 18 is all about. But it says in verse 21, a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. That's the final judgment. The voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters. Now, you know what America has been riddled with since the 1950s is rock and roll, hardcore, satanic music. I don't know if you, you know, if you love music, you know, music could be a beautiful thing. There's no doubt. But you do remember that this Lucifer was the head of the music department. Remember, we were all told that. And you know that in the 1950s, rock and roll rebellious spirit came in through music. And it was Luciferian at best, and it turned into hardcore heavy metal, hardcore rock and roll, and then it became this defiant beat of, you know, this disastrous, dark, luminous. I mean, I pray the Lord that you're not listening to anything like that, and I pray the Lord that you're not listening to that old music that you grew up on, you know, too much, because that is much tied to your emotional condition. I hope that you're not, you know, going back in time. You know, God doesn't want you to go back to your former days. He's got you here right now to move forward in the economy of the kingdom. And I just pray that God's people are awakening, because, you know, when you go back and you remember and you go back in your memory to a better day when things were more gleeful and gay and happy, you know, when you go back there, well, you're putting yourself in a state of denial for where you are and what's ahead of you. And God can't have you ready to go into the battle in all your memories of the past. There's got to come a time for God's people to move forward in their thinking. Now, it says that there'll be this music shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone, which is labor, shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Oh my God, what are the sorceries that we have exported out of the United States? Well, pornography, how many of you know it's a drug? Come on, think about it. Pornography is a drug. And people are addicted to it everywhere. Now we're legalizing marijuana. Now, you know, you just go on down the list and all the prescription drugs that the nation is on. We really do have a very stoned nation for the most part. We're a bunch of stoned people. We used to use illegal drugs. Now we use legal drugs. And it's all supposed to be keeping us healthy. And yet the Bible says by these sorceries, and that word sorcery is the word pharmakia, in the Greek, and pharmakia, pharmaceutical, that's where we get all of this stuff. And what is it doing? By your sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Well, who is this end time Babylon that will be destroyed? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26. You see, we've been talking for the longest time about our need to prepare, right? I mean, that's what we do. And the necessity of having no bitterness within us, the necessity of walking in the love of God, because that's the target of the pirates, to steal the love of God, to cause it to wax cold. And once that happens, you're doomed, you're damned. There's no doubt about it. So while God is encouraging us and equipping us, He's doing it for the purpose of standing at a time like we've just talked about. But I do want to read a few verses out of Ezekiel 26. Here it is. Verse 1, it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus hath set against Jerusalem. Aha! Now, I want to clarify something. In that day, it was against Jerusalem, the actual city. But you know, you have come to a new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the ecclesia, the church, made up of Jew and Gentile, one new man in the earth paradigm. You know, the enemy is fighting against the ecclesia today. the Jew and the Gentile who have come to faith in Jesus Christ and love the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. Well, this tyrant, this end time antichrist, this man of sin, this Lucifer, says, aha, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished. Now is she laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against you, as the sea causes his waves to come up, and they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. Now, when I was reading that, and they will come up and they will break down her towers, and I think about 9/11 when the Twin Towers were broken down by a nation whose language we have never understood, didn't even know about Al-Qaeda, has, you know, all these different groups. Well, these nations, goes on, I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. It shall become a spoil to the nations. Her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword the daughters in the field. He shall make a fort against you and cast a mount against you and lift up the buckler against you. And he shall set engines of war against your walls. And with his axes he shall break down your towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Your walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and of the wheels and of the chariots, when he shall enter into your gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. With the hooves of his horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrisons shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise. And they shall break down thy walls and destroy the pleasant houses. They shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of your songs to cease. And the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. We just read that in Revelation 18. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now, this is a judgment against the king of Tyre. And this is Nebuchadnezzar coming to power, who is Babylon. And yet we see the same verbiage against Babylon in the book of Revelation 18. So there's a story to be told here that when a nation acts like these nations, the same God will judge the same way. It doesn't change. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus, shall not the isles shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. And they shall take up a lamentation for thee, just read it in Revelation 18, and say to thee, how art thou destroyed that was inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city, strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants, which caused their terror to be on all that haunt it. In other words, you mess with us, we're going to mess with you. They all knew. Verse 18, now shall the isles tremble in the day of your fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at your departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited. Listen now. When I shall bring up the deep upon you, and great waters shall cover you. when I shall bring you down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living, and I will make thee a terror, as thou shalt be no more. Though thou be sought for, yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. I want to ask you a question. Does it really matter what the opinions of men? I mean, for example, people say, America will never be destroyed. America is great. We're not in Bible prophecy. America, America, America. And yet, this America is sinning the same exact way Tyre did, Babylon did, Sodom and Gomorrah did. We are sinning exactly like, even in the days of Noah, using our technology, look at the condition of things, right? The last vestures of genuine Christianity are holding on by a thread. And soon God's going to tell his people to come out and go into their prepared places, right? But my question is this. Why would we expect a different result when we are acting just like every other nation been before us, including Rome? Why would we expect a different result? Why would we hear the opinions of men? Because here's my point. It doesn't matter how many people are saying, we're going to be okay, nothing bad's ever going to happen, we're great. Well, when we're gone and uninhabited, who's going to remember the opinions of men? But God's word is telling us, you cannot be the superpower nation on this planet. Remember what it says in Ezekiel? Because everybody always references, oh, well, we do all these good things, and we send missionaries, and we give money, and we're the quickest to help everybody. America's good. But when a righteous man sins, his righteousness will be remembered no more. And there, our nation has sinned against the Lord in open rebellion, and our obedience is so delayed that we're wide open to a judgment. So what are we saying? Well, it appears to me that God is warning once again that there's going to be a massive earthquake that's going to release a tsunami, and Babylon, California, Babylon on the West Coast, all those supreme, district judges, all those wicked rulers, all those people living under the haze of the deceptive influence of Jezebel and all that stuff, their day of accountability is being marked right now. New York City, the headquarters of Babylon. God's bringing a nation. He's called the wild man. His hand is against every man's hand, and every man, the United Nations, his hand is against him. But God created Ishmael to be a wild man. He's the only one in the Bible that you cannot tame. You may ride him for a while, but eventually he's going to turn on you and burn you and eat your flesh. That's what we read in the book of Revelation. Ishmael is gathering together. The war of the Bible, where Ishmael warred against Isaac, this is biblical reality. Russia, China, North Korea. Things that have been very quiet lately. You know, things are just kind of sitting back. And everybody's mesmerized by the news of Cohen is going to have a report done on him. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck are having a little argument with Mr. Bush or Mr. Trump, whatever. So to me, it's smoke and mirrors. It's delusional to think that America is safe. It's delusional. There's one safe place to be. If we haven't understood it yet, we need to get it quick. It's in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's in the secret place of the Most High. It's in God's favor and protection because of your relationship with Him is the safest place to be. Dan Johnson made an outstanding observation from the Prophecy Club. a couple of weeks ago when he said, you know, all these opinions of people that the greatest revival is about to break out everywhere. And how sometimes judgment produces revival. Well, while some people are helping with the damages, there's no revival breaking out in California, especially in Paradise. It's gone. Never saw any revival go on down in Florida or in Houston or in Mississippi. Never saw the revival. Where's the revival everybody's talking about? These Puerto Rico, no revival. What revival? You see, it's a misunderstanding of God's word in my understanding of God's word. Again, men's opinions. People could prophesy, yell, shout, condemn the gloom and doomers. They could do anything they want. But in the day of the Lord's judgment, their words won't be remembered anymore. If they are, it'll only be people saying, wait a second, you told us everything was okay. No. How can everything in America be okay today when we are sinning like every other superpower nation before us, and we're exporting? There's so much deception in this country, we still wonder, scratch our heads, well, gee whiz, who killed John F. Kennedy? What happened on Pearl Harbor Day? Was that a false flag event? Did we actually do that to go into war? And, you know, nobody really knows because there's so much deception. But when you stand back and you look at the tree and you judge the fruit, well, can you judge America as a Christian nation that does good works, that sends people around, money around the world, missionaries to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel? That's who we are. Can you do that? No. You'd have to add, while at the same time we're sending missionaries, we're also exporting pornography and abortion and taxpayer dollars to pay for it around the world. And we're exporting our wars and our war machines. And come on. We're spewing out corruption on the television screen every single night. But you see, America, our way of life is the envy of the world. Who can stand against us? Our sporting programs, our way of life, the clean streets, the clean cities. Look what Babylon looks like. And you know what? Every Babylon will look like that deliciously luxurious before she's destroyed. So by looking at the condition right now and saying, wow, look at this, that's exactly the way it looked before God destroyed the empires before us. Because of the sin at the root, the sin at the foundation. So why are we talking about this today? Because I have a sense, just a sense, discernment, just a discernment, something's going to go wrong here pretty soon. The next cycle of judgment, the wheels are turning, the gears are moving, and who knows where it will be and what it will look like. 17 years ago, in New York City, the Twin Towers, representing capitalism, strength, and economic power, were completely destroyed. Now, in their place, like the defiant ancients, they built the Freedom Tower. It says, we'll build with greater stones, and we'll build with better things. We are a defiant nation. We will rise and build rather than repent. So this is what we've done. So what do you think the end result of that defiance will be? Personalize it. Where is your heart? Where is my heart today? Are we walking in fruitful relationship with the Lord? Are we living within the boundaries of His kingdom? Are we living in Christ? Are we walking and living in the Spirit? Or do we still maintain an affection for the things of the world? And again, I'm not trying to get super religious here. I don't want to be religious at all. I'm just a man reading a book and realizing that sin is damnable. And when you promote it, it's worse. And we've promoted it in our country. And so we have to go against the flow, like salmon going upstream. We're a people walking against the flow. And it's not easy. So God gave us the power of His Holy Spirit to live against it. And when we are faced with the things we're talking about today, how will we do? How will our hearts stand? Will we deny Him? Will we give in to the pressure of the Nazi concentration camps? Will we give in to the suffering, the sorrow, the loss of all things? Will we be completely and totally protected from what's coming because of our obedience to God? Or will we be trusted with martyrdom? How will our hearts do? Where are our hearts? I maintain it's the most important question of all. You have to live loosely upon this earth. You have to live with an open hand that whatever is in your life, it's not yours. You're not going to take it with you. And if God tells you to let it go, you got to let it go. You have to be able to flow with God in this hour. You can't be so situated in anything. If you're a servant of God, you must be led by God. Well, so many people today have labored to produce a gospel that makes life just perfectly situated in a little nest where everything, here's my world. But you see that changing everywhere, folks. You see it everywhere. And yet, it's the most awesome time for the elect of God, the righteous of God, to be living in. Because we shall do exploits. And the greatest exploit that you and I could do in this hour is to win a soul from the pirates, the demons, who stole God's treasure, His creation. The greatest work that you and I can be employed in right now is warning the world, warning the wicked, that's what we're called to do, of what will come in the time that God wants it to come. But in the meantime, win souls, call men everywhere to repent. And then be working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, repenting, confessing, growing in the Lord, growing up into Christ in all things, right? And so today, know what time it is. Today, understand that what you see today may not be here in an hour from now. Just understand that and use this moment to go out and be joyful and to win souls into the kingdom of God. Don't think that the world system is going to be a defiant, immovable reality. It's not. God has proven it time and again. Our joy is in the kingdom come. Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Do you think all these wicked things are in the kingdom of God? No, they're not. So stop trusting in it, relying on it, enjoying it, forget it, repent, come out of it, leave it alone, and go and enjoy the blessing and the benefit of God's grace and mercy and kingdom. And He gives good gifts to His kids. You're on this earth. He'll bless you as you follow Him with what He wants to bless you with, right? Win a soul today. You know why? If you go out there with determined reality that I am a laborer, I have prayed the Lord of the harvest, I am a laborer, and I'm going into the field to harvest souls in this hour, if I win one soul, if I lead one sinner to repentance, if I can convince them of their condition, all of the angels of heaven will rejoice. I want to make heaven rejoice. It's going to rejoice at the destruction of this Babylonian system. But right now, we could cause the angels to rejoice over one sinner. Go get it today. Go find that one soul today. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And know that you're in a war. You're taking back from the pirates. They're not just going to let it go. So know how to bind up a demon. I've run out of time today. I've got to get rolling. It's been an awesome journey with you today. I hope that this message has done some good for us. I'm going to turn it back over to the Omega Radio Network. Patricia is not going to be live at this moment. She'll be back tomorrow. I've got to run over to Kern Radio. By the way, I'm interviewing Carl Gallups in 1 hour. On Kerm Radio. Can't wait to hear what Pastor Carl Gallups has to say. That's at KURM, like Michael, .net, Kerm.net. You could listen live to the radio broadcast in 1 hour. Until we meet again, I'm Pastor Vince. Got to flow, got to go. Here's a little music before we continue on. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right here on the Omega Radio Network. Tell a friend about it. God bless.